Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, July 7th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind, and more importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 362. There's no guest. It's just me. I'm sitting here in a hotel in Troy, New York. I'm up here because I went to see a play called A Human Being of a Sort, starring Andre Brower, at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Mass. Staying at a Marriott Courtyard, trying to get my points up. Nice hotel. It was a great show. I'll read you the little blurb about it. It's 1906, and at the Bronx Zoological Park, an African-American convict named Smokey, Golden Globe and Emmy Award winner Andre Brower, is guarding the zoo's most sensational exhibit, Otabenga, a Congolese pygmy. As the public's fascination intensifies and protesters call for Oda's release, Smokey must grapple with the fact that his own freedom depends on another black man's captivity. Based on a true story, Jonathan Payne's black writer, world premiere play directed by Whitney White, black director, female director, exposes the complexity of power and compliance in a world where all lives do not seem to matter equally. Really good show. Really dug it. Andre Brower was fucking fantastic. Worth the trip. Worth putting money down on a hotel. All of that good shit. He crushed it. The whole cast was great. I just really enjoyed it. There were some sprinkles of black people there. There were some moments in the show where people were like, mm-hmm, and they were black people that did that. And they're like, huh, yeah. Some of this stuff is very relevant to today, even though it was 1906. This fucking over 100 years ago. Wow. 113, maybe? I don't know. It was a long time ago, and over 100 years ago. And it was still relevant. I was reading some reviews this morning before I started the pod, and just seeing what people were saying about it. And there are a couple of like New York Times and the Boston Globe. Oh, it's great. It's a really good show. Relevant to today, blah, blah, blah. And then the Berkshire Eagle, because the Williamstown is in Williamstown, Mass. Is in the Berkshires. And they were like, I don't know. The script wasn't that great. And they were just focusing on shit. They're like, ah. There are moments in the script I was like, ah, yeah. But overall, like, it's anchored by Andre Brower, and it's fucking interesting. You know, it's an interesting story, and it's compelling. And they were like, you know, when one of the characters uses the word, like, optics, it took me out of it. I don't know if they used that back then. Like, it was just kind of like, really? Did you miss the point of the play, buddy? Did you try to focus on something else so you wouldn't have to focus on the real shit that was being presented in the play? Like, everybody, you don't have to like it. It's not a perfect play, but there are moments in the play where I was just like, fuck. Like, those lines. And the lines are coming from a white character that's basically telling you how America's set up, the society's set up. And it's just like, ooh. Ugh. And you just wonder if the right people will ever hear this shit. I mean, being an artist is like a lofty goal. Like, you think, like, I want to be an artist and I want to influence people. That I not only want to entertain, I want to influence and change the lives of people that see my work and hear it and feel it. But you just wonder, like, who's hearing this shit? And it's really I don't know if it's people, like, it's mainly white people that come. You know, just it's just like theater is almost like, I feel the same way about theater when it comes to young people, like I do about sports like baseball, like young, like minorities playing the sport. You want to see more like black people in it and shit. You want black and brown people involved in it. And you get a play like this. You get a play like one of my homegirls, like Dana Omar, was in working out. I think this is the world premiere of this play that she was in Boston. Hopefully she gets to do that shit on Broadway. But yeah, you get different voices and you get diversity and you get more people to show up. I just wonder the people that are seeing it, even the white liberals, I wonder if that shit is just getting, if it's getting lost on people. I don't know. I mean, that's why I said I always make it a point when it's something, because I wasn't going to come up here this year because I didn't see any plays that interested me. I didn't see any like ethnic stuff. I didn't see any black stuff. And then when I saw when they announced A Human Being of a Sort, I was like, okay. And like they're doing Raisin in the Sun, but it's like that's a great play. And the only time I would need to be involved with that play is if I was doing it, like if I was playing like Walter Lee, which I've done before in community theater in Hackensack, New Jersey. But I was just like, ah. And I'm sure it's a great production that was going on as A Human Being of a Sort was. But that's a great play. But I want to see something different. I want to see like, oh, we trying to get this house and blah. You know, I want to see more. I want to see new shit. So I was glad these past 2 years I've gotten to see some really cool shit. And it's always fun. I don't know, man. It needs to be more accessible to people. Like I know I went to in elementary school coming up, we went to quite a few plays. I don't know. It's just something that rounds people out, I think. And it's good to see that shit. And it's part of why who gives a fuck? But it's great. It was a great show. The only thing that I would have done differently was the fact that if I could, I would have liked to have gone to a matinee. Because if I would have gone to a matinee, it wouldn't make being, this hotel is about 45 minutes to an hour from Williamstown. And the reason why I got this hotel was because I was like, okay, all the hotels in Williamstown were a little more expensive. I wanted to get my points up. The only Marriott that was available for this weekend was like $400 a night. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I can't afford that shit. I just got my car fixed. I don't know that I would ever, I mean, if I wanted to stunt a little, no, I don't think I would have. If I had a lady with me, I don't even know if we would have done that. I don't know. If I had it like that, maybe I would. But that's a lot of money for one night. I don't know. It was just a lot. And because I wanted to keep my points up, this was the closest one. And I got my car fixed, you know what I'm saying? I had to take care of that young. And I really just was just like, I'm not doing it. Would have been better to see a matinee because I had to drive back in the dark. And it was like misty and foggy. And my biggest fear is like, I don't want to run into a deer. I saw one last night. And then there's people that are kind of tailgating you a little bit and using you as the buffer in case you run into something. So that was a little harrowing at points, but, it wasn't that bad, but I was thankfully, before the grace of God go I, and I got home safe, got to and from the hotel safe, and it was good. But if I hadn't gotten this ticket, I wouldn't have gotten a front row seat to the show, because I'm right there, Andre Brower, like I can look at him. There are a couple moments where they're on the foot of the stage. at the front of the stage and you can just see him, like, you know, this fucking one of the greatest actors to ever live. Like, you fucking looking at him and he's, like, near you. You're directly in this fucking guy's presence, and it's pretty incredible. So it was worth it. Yeah. What else? Okay, did I do something? I did a Fat Boy thing. Went to Dinosaur Barbecue. I didn't go crazy or anything, but I don't know. I'm tired of tweeting my meals and shit, but that was gonna want to be that lame dude. But I've been to Dinosaur Barbecue before in Harlem, and I think that was the only time I've been. There's one in Harlem. There's one in Brooklyn. There's one in Newark, I think, now. And the flagship is in Syracuse. It was good. I enjoyed it. Deviled eggs were fucking incredible. I think I talked about Jacob's Pickles or tweeted it or Instagrammed the deviled eggs that they had there. And they were good. And I would say these are the best deviled eggs that I've had that weren't made by my mom, you know, that I think, yeah, and I really liked that, and I had, like, had some ribs, a little bit of brisket, some greens, and cornbread, and I was satiated, folks. That is the AC. If you hear that extra noise, it's like an automatic thing, and I have it set on that because it can get pretty hot in here, so I hope you can fucking deal with it, okay? I'm trying to bring you this podcast. You know, whatever. You can. If you've listened to this show for as long as I've had it up, and, like, early episodes, kind of when I'm interviewing somebody, or, you know, there's been times where I've been in a restaurant, shit's going on all over the place, and, yeah, so I hope you can rough it out with me as I try to keep cool in the summertime. Yeah, but Dinosaur Barbecue, really good. I think it was only the second time that I've been to one, and I enjoyed it. It kept me satiated the whole day. Then I fucked up and went to McDonald's after the play. I'm not proud. I'm not proud of it, but I wanted to eat something, and that was the only thing open. What else? So this week was cool. 4th of July, short work week. Hope everybody had a safe and a happy one, and you didn't get arrested, you didn't get pulled over, because the man, as they say, as my parents used to say, the man was out there this week trying to get people. And I got invited to the homie Paul Verzi's 4th of July party. Fucking awesome. Got to see a lot of comics I hadn't seen in a while. His family on both sides, really sweet people. Got to talk to them, had a good time. I didn't get to stay for the fireworks because I had to get up early to go to work the next day. But the food was good, all that good shit. Great. Always good to see Paul. And I did one of the kids at the party, because there were kids there too, and one of the kids at the party was like, gave me compliments on my Kobe's, that are almost like beaters now. They're not in bad shape, but they're in good enough shape for somebody to compliment them. I think I want to get another pair. I was a kid about like 10 years old. It was like, I like your Kobe's. I was like, oh, thanks, man. And you know, when a kid gives you props, you're doing something right. And I was like, oh, cool. Thank you. I said, I had them for a bit. They're really comfortable. I really dig them. And I was like, oh, what do you think about the new Giannis sneakers? And he's like, they're okay. And that's what I agree to. You'd think for the MVP, you'd have shoes that were, I just felt like they could be better. I don't know. I did see these all black Jordan 4s that looked amazing. I didn't know that they're like a, I'm assuming it's a retro or something, and it's coming back. That's what the thing said on fucking Instagram. That looked good. But right now, other than the grails of those Nike Off-Whites, those Virgil Abloh, that cool Virgil guy, I want a pair of Nike Tailwinds. That's what I want. And they're not that expensive. One day I'll probably get them. So those are cool. So it was nice to get props from my sneakers. And I had like a fat boy a revelation where I was hanging out with some comics and comics and stuff, and we're talking about Alexis Guerrero's him and his lovely wife D. We were talking. I was actually talking to D and some other people, and so we're sitting in the living room or whatever, talking, shooting the shit. And we start talking about pizza because Alexis is a big pizza guy. And we're talking about like some of the best pizza in the city. And I said, "Oh, you know, I like Emmett's, and I know it's Chicago style, and I've been there like a couple times, 3 or 4 times. It's hard to get to when you're in Jersey, and if you're not doing any gigs around that area, you kind of don't think about it. And it's, you know, it's just one of those places. I would say, I'm gonna take a sip of Gatorade. I would say that Emmett's is a place that it's a treat. It's like a treat." So, because a pizza is like a deep dish, like a medium deep dish, is like $28-$34, something like that. And so I said, "Yeah, I love that place." And she said, "Oh yeah, we know the owner." And I was like, "Oh cool." And I said, "I went on Instagram. I saw on Instagram that he had this place that was supposed to be like a snack shop in Westchester," and. And she said, "Oh, yeah, you know, that was a joke. That was like a joke, you know, that was like his backyard. And he was like, because he lives in Westchester, and it was just like a joke. He just set up his place." And I said, "Oh, my God, I'm so fat." And they started laughing. I was like, I'm so fat. I looked that place up. I tried to find that location, because I was like, I work in Westchester, so maybe after work I'll just go and check his place out. And it was so funny to me. I don't know how, I mean, maybe you guys didn't think that was funny, but it was, I was doing fat boy reconnaissance, looking that shit up. I thought I'd share that with you. But Emmett's is good if you're in New York City and you like deep dish pizza. I don't know, I don't know if it's not like it's even an acquired taste. It's just sometimes it's too much. Excuse me. It's too much for some people. And they just like the regular slices. Like the other day I went to, Frank Pepe's. They got one in Yonkers. And I went there and it was good. I don't know. I kind of feel like in the New York area, I really like Kinchley's. That's consistently good. And it's not that expensive. I mean, you get a large pie, like a little thin bar pizza pie for like $14 if you get two toppings. It's the closest thing that reminds me to Shakey's when you walk in. You heard me talk about that shit before. Yeah, so... So 4th of July was good. I had a taste for some ice cream after seeing that girl lick the ice cream, and everybody was going crazy over that shit, and they were going to lock her up. And then, so they were going to lock her up. What were they going to do? It was a felony, apparently, because she licked the ice cream. It was a dumb thing to do. And they found out that this girl was a minor. I don't know all the whole story. I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to fly off the seat of my pants and just spew my thoughts into the microphone. Obviously, it's a fucking stupid thing. Somebody mentioned on Twitter the fact that they were like, "You guys are shitting on Kamala Harris and all the stuff that she's done in the past, you know, being a prosecutor, but you don't want this girl to go to jail, and you're..." It was something she said that I thought was right. You know, like just the hypocrisy on social media. I don't think this girl should get locked up. It was a fucking stupid thing to do. Maybe you give her at the worst you give this kid community service. And it's a black girl, you know. That's the worst. I think that's the worst. She should be, like, punished. But, like, locking somebody up for 2 years, that's basically shit. This play, A Human being of a Sort, the main character, Andre Brower's character, gets locked up for stealing two apples. And it's a white dude that tells him to do it, basically. The white guy gets caught. He gets released the next day. Andre Brower's character gets sent to fucking Tennessee to a work prison for 3 years, you know? So it's a dumb thing, but I've listened to, so as a fan, not as a podcaster and a fan of podcasts, I've listened to a lot of types. I've listened to a lot of different podcasts. Listened to a lot of my white friends who've had podcasts, and they talk about the stupid shit that they've done when they were kids, and a lot of that shit doesn't come close to what this girl did. She just put that shit. She recorded that shit. Obviously, a stupid fucking thing. You don't fucking do that, but. Yeah, hopefully this girl learns from this and she comes out on the other side. And I think she will, me being optimistic. But I remember listening to one of my favorite podcasts, one of my dumb friends with Sean Donnelly and Dan St. Germain. I think they did a live episode one time and they had Baron Vaughn on. And they were talking, another guest was on there or something. They're talking about some crazy wild shit that happened. The crowd was laughing, shit like that, blah, blah, blah. And Baron gets on the show and friend of the podcast. Dan and Sean are a friend of the podcast too. Baron gets on the show and he's like, yo, like, I've never done anything as stupid as some of these. It's like, I don't even, kind of just said like, yo, I don't even know why I'm on the show. It's like, I'm black. If I'd have did any of that shic, I would be arrested. And it was it's true. Something that along the lines of that. I don't know if you go back at that show. I don't know if they took all those episodes down, but I just remember that specifically. How, like, you can't, it's two different Americas. We know, if you listen to this podcast and the people that are affiliated with the show, you know, the general audience, you kind of get the picture. But I hope, you know, I hope that girl gets her shit together. Don't do stupid shit like that. Then somebody put on Twitter, I don't know where this was. I don't know if it was bullshit or not, but they showed an ice cream case that was locked up and said, please see employees, you know, before, if you want ice cream, basically. Locking that shit up like it's razors and shit. So that had me thinking, like, damn, is Bluebell ice cream really that good? Because I'd never had it before. And I asked the question on Twitter and Facebook, and a lot of people was like, hell yeah. And they're like, what do you mean? Is this a joke? Some people were like, are you fucking joking right now? I was like, no, I've never had it. I'm mainly a Breyers guy. And shout out to Brandon Johnson from Pittsburgh. He basically said, like, hey, yeah, it's better than Breyers. I was like, whoa, dude, better than Breyers? Wait a minute, buddy. And he was like, yo, I said what I said. And I was like, all right. So I went to find some. I couldn't find any. I was at Stop and Shop on the 4th of July, and I was looking for some. I didn't find any. But I did find this. What is this ice cream? This is Tillamook ice cream. Which Tillamook is a company based out of Oregon. They have dairy products. They have cheese. Cheese is really good. I used that on some omelets a couple times. Fantastic. I was like, damn, they got ice cream too? And I've been to restaurants that say, oh, we got Tillamook cheese. And then I think you can get it. You can get the cheese from maybe Whole Foods has it. But I noticed it being relatively new, a new product at Stop and Shop. So I was like, this ice cream looks good. And so I ended up getting like the chocolate peanut butter. And I tried it, and it was really good. And I'm very conservative when it comes to ice cream. The most adventurous that I've gotten was that I like when it comes to ice cream, when I have it in my house, when I have it in my place, I don't really like to keep it. But I usually get the Reese's peanut butter cup ice cream. That's like, it's the peanut butter and it's the broken off chips. It's the broken off like Reese's cups. And that's fucking great, and I'm happy with that. I've done the Oreos like that. That's good. But now they try to have the mixture, and sometimes they don't have the kind that I like. So I was like, okay, let me just try this. It was really good. It tasted like a Jell-O pudding pop. And I know that Bill Cosby's canceled, but my God, that was my favorite treat. That was my favorite treat, ice cream treat, when I was a kid. It tasted like a Jell-O pudding pop if it was mixed with peanut butter. And it was so good. I really like it. And that's another dangerous, that's a very dangerous ice cream. Shout out to the homies on the Firestarter podcast. They were talking about how they love Talenti, and it's intense. You see me stuttering when I'm talking about this shit, like a fucking junkie. But it is very good. So this Tillamook, and I think they even mentioned Tillamook too. It's really good. I might be more adventurous. They have so many different flavors. I might have to try another one at some point. But I didn't eat. Obviously, I think you get a gallon, or it's a half gallon of ice cream. I plan to not finish that anytime soon, but it's very delicious. And that ice cream talk just made me think about that. So I talked about the ice cream liquor. What else? Days Gone. So I thought that I was running into trouble with the game. Like I download this game and then it's fucking acting up, and like I think that there's bugs in it, and it actually is not, because I continued the game. I did something different and I was able to pick up from where I left off, and I'm actually enjoying the game. I'm actually getting the hang of it now. I've been playing this game, that might have been my third or fourth sit down with the game, and I just figured out the survival wheel, where you can choose your weapons and craft stuff like all these games have now. All these open world games have, you can craft weapons and you can do all this shit. And I was like, oh, this was here all along, and my dumbass didn't realize it. So I got a better hang of the game, and it's made it more fun. And I haven't played it in about a week or so, but it's a fun game. I'm getting into it. It's not as bad as the critics say. And I think this is probably, I keep saying this, but yeah, maybe it'll hold me out until February if I finish it, and then God of War. So we'll see. I'm tempted to get Madden because Patrick Mahomes is on the cover, and maybe it's going to be fun, but I don't know if I lose interest. Been playing 2K a little bit since free agency, using all the trades and stuff, updating the roster. I played with Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Friday night or a couple night or yesterday, I think, before I left. That was fun. And then play with the Clippers. That was cool. They had the what's his name? That sounded like my dad. Kawhi's New Balance colorways and all that shit. Fun. 2K is still fun, but the new one's coming out in September. And I just get 2K and I don't even really play it that much. I love it though. I just feel like I gotta get it every year, even though people on YouTube will tell you not to. I like the updates and shit. It's fun. Video game talk, there's not that much. There's not that much. I don't know. Yeah, there's not. yeah, I'm just waiting it out till The Last of Us comes out. They're saying February. There's a black dude that has the best. His name is Taji. What is this kid's name? If you're into it, like, I don't think anybody is that listens to this show is really into The Last of Us like I am, but I'm gonna find this kid's Taje. He was the first person I saw to break the fact that there's three playable. If it's true, from this Russian site. Russian gaming site that had, like, there's three playable characters, Ellie Joel, and possibly the mystery woman in that trailer, and that, had a plot and everything about that. So it looks like, that's going to be cool if it's true. It seems to be true. So we'll see. And then Neil Druckmann, biggest troll that he is, one of the greatest video game creators of all time. He said, oh, there's an Akira something video game. He said, they need to make an Akira video game. And people are like, something like he said, oh, I love Akira, blah, blah, blah. They're doing something with that. And yeah, they need to make the video game. And people are like, when is The Last of Us 2 coming out, Neil? I was going to, like, retweet it and have, like, sad faces or something and say, Neil, what are you, stop doing this to us. He's the best. Hope he doesn't get canceled or anything before the game comes out. Hey, guys, you should check out the Patreon page, because by the time you listen to this, there's a conversation with me and the great Rod Morrow from The Black Guy Who Tips that is on the Patreon feed. So I hope that you subscribe and join. Good shit over there, you know? It's good shit over there. I think that's it for video game news. Also, let's talk about some music. Still been listening to Bandana. Also, I listened to Daniel Caesar's album, Case Study. Is it Case Study 01? Yeah, Case Study 01. I know you guys have canceled this kid, but he's got some good records. Good, really good melodies and all that stuff. It's good. It seems like he's kind of pushing back on the people. He's like, I know he went through a lot of shit, and he's trying to let us know that he fucks. He's fucking women, and he's not a bitch. And so I was like, okay, Daniel, you're a musician. You probably do get girls. And I don't think anybody thinks you're a bitch. I know he got it, might have gotten, they canceled him because he said, cancel me, and I don't care if you do or not. And then there's an article that said, you know, he hasn't sold that many copies of albums, and people were like laughing at that. And I was like, well, do people even listen to albums? Do people even buy albums anymore? I thought everybody was streaming, but apparently people are buying albums. I don't know what's going on, because when I walk into Best Buy, the few times that I do, there's not a CD section anymore. If there is, it's very small, and nobody's buying anything. This CD section at Target is getting small as hell, too. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, folks. So you tell me what's going on. Are you guys buying this stuff digitally? What are you doing? I just got Tidal. I've only had it for about a year. So I don't know. I listen off that. I at least try to give these kids, these new artists, these folks that are doing their thing, I give them a shot. I listen to their stuff. And I'm starting to get annoyed by some of this stuff, because I made a playlist of Daniel Caesar music, and I was grooving out. I was like, oh, this guy's, I like this album. It's good. The Get You record was coming on, what he's known for. Shout out to the homie, Tim Hall, People's Critic, friend of the show. He put me on to Daniel Caesar, and the Get You record, I was like, oh man, that's a fucking great song. And I was singing along to it in the car. And then my title just, it just kind of cut off. And I was like, gosh darn it, you're messing up the groove. And that thing could just go off anytime it wants. It could just say, I don't want to play anymore. You know, that kind of pisses me off. That's why I still like the hard copy of the MP3 in the iPod, you know. It doesn't mess up that much. Part of it is my car, I think, with the Bluetooth and stuff like that. It works whenever it feels like it. And, you know, it makes me think of that Louis C.K. Damn, I'm mentioning two people that are canceled. But when Louis C.K. was at the height, and he wasn't the height of his career, and he wasn't canceled, he had the bit about, like, you're making a phone call or sending a text message when he's like, just give it a second. Give it a second. You're flying 30,000 feet in the air, blah, blah, blah. Just give it a second, you know? I think about that bit, and he's right. I know he got canceled, but he had some salient points when it comes to the way of how we deal with technology and all that jazz. But, you know, case study, solid. You got some good records, huh? It's like he's trying to prove that you people say he's ugly. And they got mad at him because he defended that Yes Jules chick. Who's a cute girl, but nobody's called cute white woman, but nobody's calling her on her bullshit when she does something wrong. Well, now I guess those two black dudes interviewed her. People got mad about that because they're just like, oh, yeah, they just wanted to fuck her. They thought they had a chance to. I don't know, but I think other than her being an attractive white woman, I think she helped this kid's career. And I think that's why he initially was like being defensive of her. I mean, she gave him some gigs or something. I don't know. But I think it's this. The kid can sing, and he's got some, and it sounds good. Yeah. And Pharrell, the Neptunes did a beat. Yeah, because I did hear Pharrell singing on one of the records. What else? Let's talk about some movies, shall we? I saw Spider-Man: Far From Home. Tuesday after work in IMAX 3D. People suck when you try to get your seats to stuff. You try to almost tripped over some people because they didn't want to move. If I can help it, I don't know that I'll go to that IMAX theater anymore. It's fine. IMAX 3D is fine. I just don't like the setup in that Palisades Mall the way it is. Like, I went to that one because it was right after work. It's 4 o'clock and I wanted to see this movie and as soon as I can, because these fucking people will spoil the shit out of the movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a satisfying sequel based on the way that the first one was set up, like the Homecoming, that being the first movie in the MCU, and Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man, because he's a good actor, two, because he is of age. He's right around that age where you can picture this kid being 16, 17 years old, and very charismatic, very funny. Just a really all-around good actor, and I enjoyed it, man. It was fun. I'm gonna see it again in Dolby. I got some time to kill before something tomorrow, so after work I'll probably go see that junk again, young. I would say this is basically like. The only thing I'll say that's close to a spoiler was this is this summer's Us. Jordan Peele's Us. It's very similar because there's elements that you find out in the post-credit scenes that you're like, oh, shit. If I were to see this again, it would take on a whole new meaning for a couple of characters. Interesting. That's all I'll say. But I did enjoy it. One of my homies was telling me, like, you know, he was saying, like, he felt some kind of way about it. He didn't like it because I think it's harder for people who enjoy the books, the comic books, to really have some kind of satisfaction from these films, because with the exception of probably Infinity War, and even that, no, most of my homies that are really into the comic books are like, just like, damn, man, like, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Are they trying to appeal to, who are they trying to appeal to? Are they trying to make it accessible to people like me, people who are fans of the characters, but don't know the whole folklore around the comic books and stuff? Are they trying to make people, because there were some moments that were like the video game, like off the rip, they added the two suits that Spider-Man has into the PlayStation game, like the spy, the stealth suit and the advanced suit. They added that to the video game for free. And who are they really appealing to? So it was interesting. I want to talk about that more with him, but salient points were made in his dissent to the movie, but it didn't keep me from enjoying it. But it did make me think about that. Do we have too much input? Like, do fans, you know too fucking much about casting and all this shit? Like this bullshit that's going on with the fucking Little Mermaid, you know? Who gives a shit? I think it's dope that a little black youngin got in there. She's pretty. She can sing. Fuck it. Rock out. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for that. But I think somebody on Twitter was saying that they're putting up these tweets of these people that don't want this girl to be Ariel. And they keep showing it, like, to get people mad and get people riled up. And I think they probably do that shit. Who knows what's behind the scenes to make people, to get people riled up and fighting and shit on the internet. But, yeah, that shit is for the birds. And it's low-hanging fruit for the wokes to get all these retweets and shit. Like, because this is this way, because X is this way, Y is this way. 4,000 retweets, 100 likes, 100,000 likes on this fucking bullshit. And but when it comes to this controversy, a lot of this shit be funny too. Like the homie Lee Tribble on Twitter wrote, "You make Poseidon Sam Jackson," and then it's like, and then he put a picture of Poseidon and Sam Jackson, and he was like, "Mermaid motherfucker, do you speak it?" God, and that got like thousands of retweets. That shit was funny. And people, you know, saying, "Oh, now we're gonna say He-Man is black," and blah. I just don't. The shit is fucking fictional. They're making so much money. Disney is making so much money redoing the same fucking cartoon and putting a live action shit around it. Like this Lion King shit, man. When that comes up, just think about this being a Disney movie. Think about all the money that's going to make. And then the fact that you got Beyonce fans that's going to see this movie. Like, I know I'm going to see it because it's an event movie. I just got to figure out. I got a part in a movie. So I'm going to shoot for a day or two on some stuff. So that's cool. A little indie joint. So that's nice. To tell you that. But yeah, I don't know when I'm going to see the thing, but I'm going to see it. Just think about all that fucking money that people are going to spend on this fucking thing. It's not just one time. It's going to be, people going to be coming to that shit all summer, dog. The Lion King, young. So that being said, this Little Mermaid shit, when that comes out, because the girl with Haley Berry, she's on Grownish. She's good on that. She's funny. She's got a personality. Man, that shit is going to be good, young. I don't really care for him that much. Like, a lot of people said Jungle Book was great. I don't know what people liked Aladdin. That made tons of money. Did that make, like, domestically? I saw something. Maybe it made $900 million. I don't even know. I low-key don't even want to go to Box Office Mojo, but I'm going to click on it. Why not? Let's see. That's Friday estimates. Spider-Man Far From Home heading toward 180 to 190 million six-day debut. Wow. Aladdin, worldwide 2019. 899 million. So it's closing in on 9. Damn, Captain Marvel, 1 billion, 1.1 billion. Avengers Endgame, 2.7 billion. So for all this talk about Captain Marvel and people didn't like it and they don't like Brie Larson and blah, 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 that fucking movie worldwide has made $1 billion. That's insane. See, all that shit, they be trying to hold people back young. And that's what's up. And a woman is I like Captain Marvel. I thought it was fine, man. I enjoyed the shit. Shout out to Brie Larson. Number one white starlet. What else, folks? Yeah, so I enjoyed that. The fucking Little Mermaid shit is bullshit. If you don't like this one, then they haven't even started shooting yet. Just watch that fucking cartoon with the white kid, with the white girl. Have you ever seen? Is that's even, that ain't Little Mermaid. That's Pocahontas. I remember one Little Mermaid is, look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? I remember one time we had auditions for the spring musical. And when you auditioned, you had to get up in front of everybody and fucking sing a song. I don't know how good that was. You do it in front of everybody, but I guess they didn't have a place to look after all the kids and shit, so you have to stand up in front of everybody and sing. And this is the moment, like I told you, like I sung some Jodeci shit because I didn't know no better, because that's all the music that I knew before, like this Rodgers and Hammerstein shit. So that's the stuff that I did. This one girl, this one girl did fucking part of that world, whatever the fuck, that Ariel song. And she had like props and she was just an overactor. She was just mad extra. Before we knew what the term was, we knew she was doing too much. And you couldn't laugh at it, because if you laughed at somebody, you would get in trouble. And yeah, it was just like crazy. It was so funny, but you couldn't laugh. You know, and the teacher's like, don't you fucking laugh. Did she wouldn't say, don't you fucking laugh. But she's like, don't laugh. I just remember that. Russell Westbrook talking to Thunder about possible trade. Spent 11-year career with OKC, 4 years, $170 million left on contract. They're blowing that team up, man. Kawhi handled that shit like a G. Took Paul George with him. That was pretty cool. I don't know. The narrative for Russell Westbrook gets. So people say, like, oh, nobody wants to play with LeBron. People talk about all that shit. He plays with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Cleveland, a couple guys come and play with him. L.A., Anthony Davis takes a $4 million pay cut to play with him. Don't seem like nobody want to play with Russ. Paul George is the type of, I think, okay, he did have, I didn't watch Oklahoma City, but apparently he did because he finished third with the in the MVP vote and played his ass off. No denying that he's a super talented player, but him being the man in Indiana, like that, well, he's a much better player now than he was like 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago even. I just feel like he's a guy that's like second fiddle. He doesn't want the heat on him. I don't know. And I think like nobody says anything about Russell Westbrook. Do they like him more, or because he stayed in that team? He stayed with him. He stayed with OKC for as long as he did. Is his narrative different? It seems like people still seem to take up for him. I don't know. This is the craziest offseason ever. All of it's kind of dampered because KD is hurt. He got hurt. And I fucking hate that. I wish he'd have just stayed out. Ugh. But he's a gamer, guys. He's a baller. Oh, the fucking way that narrative changed. I fucking hate that shit. Makes me so angry that he's hurt. That he went back out there. I'm livid. Because it's still the greatest NBA offseason ever. But it really pisses me off that he's hurt and how they did him. Because Andre Iguodala even said that, like, they low-key pushed him to come back. What is this, UFC 39, 239? Black guy with tattoos. He got a lot of tattoos. I think guys with tattoos, they get beat. They're frauds. Even though they could kick my ass, but I'm not getting paid to fight. Let's see. This is John Bones Jones that always gets in trouble for drugs. Let's see who won. I don't know who's winning this thing. I got one more movie review and I'll wrap it up. So he did win. Yeah, that guy has too many tattoos. He thought he should win. Thiago Santos. Well, Thiago's not black. He's something else. I'm being racist. I'm not being racist. I just thought he was black. Anyway, well, they let him fight. 17-fight unbeaten streak. He just always tests positive for fucking steroids. He did knock him down. Yeah. Okay, sorry, guys. Yeah, NBA offseason, fucking incredible. You can't be mad at Kyrie. You can't be mad at Kyrie. You can't be mad at Kawhi. He didn't, and people have said this. I'm kind of, at this point, I'm echoing what a lot of people are saying. Even Dan Le Batard said this. Like, people don't know shit. This goes to show you that these fucking analysts, they know about the game and stuff like that. But what's in these guys' heads? They don't fucking know. They don't know what's going on, you know? Oh, like Jalen Rose. I love Jalen Rose.
I'm 99.9% sure that he's going to go to fucking Toronto. He's going back to Toronto.
And and he had to say it because people were getting into shit yesterday. Like, he's like, yeah, I was wrong. I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect this to happen with Paul George. And the way that Kawhi did it, like a G, he said, hey, I'm going to deal with that when I deal with it. I'm celebrating this championship with my teammates, and we'll talk about that in July. And he had to. I love his journey in the last 2 to 3 years, not getting along with the Spurs. He got hurt. They thought they were dumping him off into another country. And he goes, and they did, but then he wins a championship. And then he handles this shit. But looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. But you think that, you know, they said that Kawhi didn't want to go to L.A. to play with LeBron. He didn't want to be like the second or third guy with LeBron. He wanted to go to the Clippers to forge his own thing. And, you know, to be a rival to LeBron. So that just never really made sense to me anyway. But so be it, you know. I like it. I like that move. And, you know, it goes to show you that you don't always have to move to these big – people are talking about that. You don't have to move to these big market teams. It doesn't mean anything. You know, even, you know, Rod and I were talking about that on the Patreon episode. Like, that doesn't mean shit anymore. You can't just hang on your laurels, sit on your laurels of being like, oh, we're the Knicks. We're the Lakers. We're this team. You can be in these small market teams and still be the man. That's why maybe Giannis will stay with Milwaukee. That fucking MVP speech. I was at my desk fucking tearing up listening to that shit. He's a foreign kid and his dad's dead, you know, and he's like really humbled by this. I was like tearing out. Yeah, I cried, man, listening to that shit. Because I didn't see it the night before, and I was just like, whew, that got to me, man. So congrats to Giannis. Hopefully you will get a better shoe designer when the new ones come out. But the young people, I know the young people like those sneakers. All right. I'm going to wrap it up with a talk about Midsommar, the new joint from Ari Aster, director of Hereditary. Let's read the blurb. Let's read the Google blurb, folks. With their relationship in trouble, a young American couple travel to a fabled Swedish midsummer festival where a seemingly pastoral paradise transforms into a sinister, dread-soaked nightmare as the locals reveal their terrifying agenda. I thought this was all right. Just like I thought that Hereditary was all right. But what makes these films good, interesting, you get terrific performances from the female lead that's anchoring the movie. Hereditary with Toni Collette, fantastic performance. I saw that movie and I was like, I ain't seen nobody better than that at this point. At this point, it was like summer. It was around this time, like summertime, June, that I saw that movie. I was like, oh, wow, that's one of the better performances I've seen from a woman this year. And at the same time, I was walking out of that theater and a guy said to his girlfriend or wife, he said, you are not picking movies anymore. And so you get that juxtaposition where, you know, the shit is like, okay, it's interesting, but is it? I feel like people are saying like, oh my God, it's the best. Like they're saying it's so great because they don't understand it. The movie's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, this woman, I don't really want to give that much of it away, but this woman goes through something. And it's played masterfully, terrifically by this woman, Florence Pugh. What else was she in? Real pretty white starlet. This movie called Fighting With My Family. The Little Drummer Girl. Lady Macbeth. What is The Little Drummer Girl? This was a series or something? I want to see, but this definitely makes me want to see more of the stuff that she's in, because she is good. The first the cold open of this movie, the first 10, 15 minutes, dope as fuck. Really good, because it just rests, everything pretty much rests on her. Now, you get some good performances out of this movie. I would recommend you seeing this, but just go in. Like, it's weird as fuck. It takes its time to be weird as fuck. And, I mean, the director even says this is a breakup movie. And that's basically what it is. And once you think about that, it's like it's inevitable for things to kind of happen the way that it does in this movie. But I don't know, man. Sometimes people cite stuff too much. I was just like, okay. I was like, all right. And when I went to see this, I went to the Alamo Draft House in Yonkers, and I hadn't been there in a couple of years, quite some time, because I'm an AMC A-lister. I'm an AMC Stubbs member, and I'm loyal to this place. But I saw that this movie was playing at a time that worked out for me, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna see this. I'm gonna go to a new. And I was trying to get. Also, I was going to try to get a Spider-Man Far From Home collector's glass. But the guy, they're telling me, like, because I saw it online. Like, oh, get your fucking Spider-Man exclusive Mondo glass, bro. And you go there, and they're like, oh, those were pre-orders only. I'm like, damn, what the fuck, man? Y'all don't want to make no money? You know, y'all ain't trying to make no money? Like, when Spider-Man Homecoming came out, they had them. They had the glasses at Cinepolis, and they were cool. I think those were Mondo glasses, so whatever. Yeah. This guy was kind of being a dick. Nah, he wasn't being a dick. Nah, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Let me stop. So I get to the... I like that theater. I do like it, and I wish I could see more stuff there, because they do have a club. They basically have the same thing. You can see like one movie a day or some shit like that, or I don't know how they did it. Anyway, it's something similar, and they have an app, which I did download. So if I go there again, I can build up points. But I think what I'll do is if there's something I want to catch, I'll try to catch it there. And, you know, I think the food's better. I think the food's better than the AMC dine-in, I would say. And the popcorn was great. I got popcorn and I got a Coke. I was kind of scared to get a drink, I always get a drink, but like I didn't want to drink all my shit because I don't want to have to go to the bathroom. And this was a 2.5 hour movie. I felt Spider-Man Far From Home was about the same length, I want to say. 2 hours and 9 minutes, so like 20 minutes more. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and I get my seat. And this white lady comes to my row. She says, excuse me, what seat are you in? I was like, this is 14 or whatever. I thought this white woman was like trying to bum rush me, saying I was in her seat and shit like that. And I was like, and so she sits beside me. She says, oh, I don't bite. It's just kind of neurotic, decent looking, whatever. White lady, probably my age or a little older. And we're talking a little bit. She's like, she's kind of neurotic like me. She's like, yeah, I'm in this club and you can see the movies and blah, blah, blah. She's kind of like interesting woman. The thing about this film was that, you know, we talked a little bit before the movie and I was like, okay. And I wasn't trying to holler or anything like that. But what I did want to know was what she thought of the movie, but she kind of just got up and left. I wanted to be like, oh, what did you think? But I didn't get that chance. So I would have loved to have known what she thought about it. But there were moments where we both like laughed and it was some interesting. I got to get somebody that I'm going to try to get someone on to talk about this movie. We'll see what happens. But anyway, towards the end of the movie, like this super climactic moment, there's a middle-aged white woman that I think she had too much to drink. And there was a moment where people were screaming on screen and she was like kind of freaking out. And her kid was like, mom, just fucking go leave. Like she was like, she was freaking out. And I just thought that was weird and kind of funny. I don't know if she, I think maybe she was drunk, but that movie kind of fucked her up. And yeah, that was really weird. I don't know what was going on with that lady, but I would say that I really enjoyed the Alamo Drafthouse. I hadn't been to a new theater in a while. And also the Cinepolis where I went to see Spider-Man Homecoming like 2-3 years ago, they're remodeling and they have like a sexy upgrade to their theater. So that looks really cool. So I think, but that Cinepolis is near the Fuddruckers that I go to. So one day I'll have to check it out. Then there's another movie theater in Watchung, New Jersey, that just opened up that my coworker was telling me about. That's supposed to be nice, but I'm still gonna be loyal to AMC. Save so much money watching the movies the way I watch. But I think I still wanna check that theater out. But Alamo Drafthouse, if I know a lot of my homies like live in Queens and Brooklyn, like my comedian friends. I got to tell them about this thing that, you know, because that shit adds up. It's fucking expensive. So I think that's it, folks. I've talked to you for over an hour, and I hope you enjoyed me talking to you as much as I enjoyed doing this, I guess. I don't know. Patreon stuff with Rod and, yeah. Subscribe to the Patreon. The show's also on Spotify. I forgot to mention that. So if you listen, if you have Spotify and you wanna listen on that, you can do that. It's available to you. And I want to thank you so much for listening to the show. And I appreciate you so much. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody. I'll talk to